So this is Micah number 4. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. So according to the plan, we will do chapter 3 and 4 and 5 today. Hey, don't worry. Everything will be fine. I think. Okay? So no more chit-chatting, no more sidetracking. We focus chapter 3, 4, and 5. Okay? So yesterday we talked about the problem of the Israel or the Jewish people at that time. You know that very often we say the cross is the relationship between God and man, also man and man. Only when you have a son relationship, you have a son relationship between God and you, and also you have the son relationship along with other people, it complete the cross. It complete the cross. So you do not come to church and say, I come here to see God. I don't need to interact or associate myself with other people. That concept is incorrect. Incorrect. For the Bible told us that if you cannot love the people that you see, then you say, oh, I love God. The Bible calls you a liar. A liar. Okay? So if you truly are filled, if you are filled with the love of God, that naturally the love inside of you overflow and extend to the people around you. Okay? So you love the people around you not because they are lovable, not because they are amiable. You love them because the love of the Lord overflowed. So you love them because you know that God first loved you. Okay? So as we say that for the Jewish people in the book of Micah and that generation, they have problem both in the vertical relationship and also in the horizontal relationship. And you and I, we need to constantly monitor our faith, monitor our life. Maybe you are okay in this part, okay? You fear God, you study Bible, you pray, you devote yourself. But if you have big problem in the horizontal, always having conflict with others, unable to communicate, refuse anyone to enter into your life. You come to church, you don't deal with church members. You don't like to talk to them. You don't want to communicate with them. You don't like them. Then perhaps something is not very right with your faith. So this is something for us to keep in mind. Okay? Now, we mentioned yesterday in chapter 2 and 3, the problem with the rich people, the financial leader, the problem with the prophet, the religious leader. And then the third, in chapter 3, in chapter 3 is the government officers. Also, he also mentioned about the prophets, right? But mainly so we have the economical leader, we have the religious leader, and we have the political leader. And all three of them, all three groups, they abused the God-given power for their own benefit. And that brought wrath upon them from the Lord. Now we want to enter into chapter 3. What was the problem with the officials, the officers in that generation? Let's go to chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1, and I say, hear now, O head of Jacob, And you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, you who strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bone, who also eat the flesh of my people, flaying their skin from them, break their bones and chop them in pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. Okay. So then here, the first problem, again, is greediness. Deprived. They take everything. Again, the government official abuse the bestowed power, and they take away everything from the people. All right? That's what brought the wrath of the Lord upon them. So number one, they are greedy, and they take away from the orphan, from the widow, from the weak, just because they can. Okay? But you have to remember, the Bible told us, God said to the Israelites, you do not mistreat the orphan or the widow. You do not mistreat it, for they do not have any power to fight back. Yes, they are the weaker one. Yes, they are the minority in the society. Yes, you can take advantage and overpower them, and there's nothing that they can do, sure. But don't you forget, the Lord say that I am also their God. I am also their father. So the Lord say to the Israelites, if you mistreat, you take advantage from the orphan, you mistreat the weak, and you deprive from the widow, the Lord say, I will kill you with the sword and make your wife the widow and make your children the orphan. Whatever you do to others, God will bring it upon you and your family. Again, what goes around comes around. Okay? So, number one, this official who are giving power to run the kingdom of God's chosen people, they use it for themselves by bully, evil deeds, evil action against the people, the children of God. Number two, if you read chapter 3, verse 5, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who made my people straight, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against him, who puts nothing in their mouth. Okay? Now, you talk about the prophet. Okay? The officials, the prophet, they were listed together for their depriving, for them to deprive, taking everything away from the people. But in here, what it mentioned about the priest, the prophet, it says that they are chewing the meat, so they say what? Peace. Okay. So here tells you, when prophet make a proclamation, when prophet convey the message of the law, now this is no longer about God. The message peace is not from God, it's from themselves when they were given something to chew upon. So what is it talking about in here? In here, when the prophet gets something to eat, they will say whatever you want to hear. They work for food. They work for money. They work for you if you can satisfy their physical need or physical desire. Okay? In the book of Judges, at the very end, in the book of Judges, talking about a young Levi, who were taken by one family to become the family priest. Okay, family priest. According to the Mosaic law or the design of God, priests belong to God. Priests belong to every tribe. Priests does not belong to any individual person or any individual family. But this young Levi served in one family. Why? Because the guy said to this young Levi, say, you can be the priest in my house. I will give you food. I will give you money. And I will give you nice clothes. So the young man said, sure. And the young man followed and become the priest of that household. You know who is this young man? He's the grandson of Moses. Moses' grandson. Instead of become the leader, the spiritual leader of Israel, he became what? A priest fed by one family. Okay? It's very pathetic. You can do you can read the story yourself. It's a very, very sad story. Okay? The grandson of Moses. Okay? So what happened in here? The priest no longer convey the message of the law. For from the law, the message is what? Is wrath. The message what? Is repent and return. This is the message from the Lord. But when the priest, the so-called priest, when the so-called priest were fed, hey, then he said, peace, peace, peace. Okay? This is what happened. That's why the Lord was so very angry about this priest, this prophet, for they only work for benefits. That's why Apostle Paul also mentioned in 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. At the end, it says that those people who suppose that godliness is a mean of gain. Okay? Godliness, fearing the law, religion becomes what? Only a way to get something for themselves. Just like the priest, the prophet here, who talk about, oh, prophesy, no worry, you come, I prophesy for what? For the meat, chew in my mouth. Okay? So they are, in the name of the law, gaining material benefit for their own. That's why, in the eyes of the Lord, they are unworthy to be called the priest. In the 14th century, 14th to 15th century, from about 14th to 15th century, Catholic, they came up with something called indulgence, a ticket to heaven, right? So they start printing something called indulgence that you can purchase. It's a piece of paper. You can purchase, and that shall redeem, purchase. You pay, and then your ancestor can go to heaven, something like that. Oh. Why? Because they need money. At that time, Catholic, they were building a grand cathedral in Italy, in Vatican. They were building the San Pedro Cathedral, and the Pope ran out of money. Okay, it was a beautiful. I was there a few years ago. It was beautiful for sure, and beautiful means costly, and costly means somebody need to pay, and of course for the Pope, oh, he's not going to pay. Someone else need to pay. So what happened is they sell you this piece of paper called indulgence, and it supports, the whole idea is that, hey, your ancestor, your grandfather's grandfather's grandfather never know about Jesus and never baptized, so burning in hell forever. But don't you worry. Now we give you a solution. So, hey, your great-grandfather, oh, you know, he's in very deep at the bottom, all right? So I guess you need to pay more, all right? So when you buy the so-called indulgence, the ticket, and they will tell you that your ancestor's soul goes up, like, you know, moving from minus 18 to minus 17, and then to minus 16, then 15, then 12. Eventually, if you pay enough, the soul goes to heaven. That's what they tell you. And there was a document. They were so frank. They were so straightforward. In that document, one of the bishops wrote on the document, when the sound of the gold coin, the clinking sound, huh? He said that when the sound of the gold coin touched the button of the offering box, the soul of your forefather lived up to heaven. And that's why Martin Luther was so angry and began the 99 Theses against the Catholic. That's the beginning of it. Because he said, this is too much. This is not in the Bible. But why? They use the name of God. They use the name of faith. And they use the name of religion. For what? Chewing the meat in their mouth. And you know what? In fact, you also observe the similar situation in our society today. If you get a chance, when you have internet access, in a few weeks, you can Google the most wealthy pastor in the world. And let me tell you, it's not me. Well, number one, do you know who is the most wealthy pastor in the world and where he came from? You might think it's either United States or Europe, right? Because that's the wealthy place, right? No, Nigeria. Africa. If you go check the top 10, I don't remember the exact number, but out of the top 10, the most wealthy pastor, three or four of them came from Africa. Africa. They are billionaire, not million. You know, the most wealthy one, the one in Nigeria, he got his private jet, private airplane. So, you know, you think about it. Are they, you might think, oh, Joe Austin is very wealthy, right? Come on, he's not even in the top 10. I mean, he's wealthy. I think a few years ago, he spent like $14 million to buy a house. And then many of his members say, why aren't you the worker of God? And he said, hey, that's called blessing from the Lord. This is the concept. It's very distorted. If you look into the Bible, you see Peter, the poor fisherman, who shout for the truth of the Lord. Apostle Paul, who gave up all his worldly achievements and stand in Areopagus to fight against all the heresies. They voice, they shout, they gave up the war for a greater truth. But look at today, what happened? St. Peter, St. Pedro Cathedral, you have all the glamour except the spirit of Peter. The spirit of sacrifice. It's all paved in gold. You know that you walk down in those, you walk down in Vatican, in all those beautiful cathedrals, the top of the ceiling is layered with gold. You find beautiful artifact of human art, but you do not find the original Christian spirit of sacrifice. You know what? You walk around those beautiful cathedrals, you notice one thing. Every corner, what do you see? Offering box. Offering box. Every corner, everywhere you go. Hey, remember to pay, huh? That's how it is. Every corner, they are offering box and ask you to pay for it. So at the end, it's all about what? Chewing the meat. This is what many Christian denomination turns into.
A few years ago,
I'm about to cry. No more. No sidetrack. You guys need to help me out. All right. So let's go back to chapter 3. This is so bad. All right. Chapter 3. So first problem, they engage in evil action. Second, they only work for their personal benefit, personal gain. So in name of God, but in fact for themselves. That's evil in the eyes of the Lord. Number 3, if you read verse 11, her heads judge for a bride, her priests teach for pay, her prophet divine for money, yet they lean on the law and say, okay? So number 3, bribery, social injustice. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, when God told Moses, select worker to lead my people, what is the main criteria? Nothing but find those who are upright. Upright. Character. Character. So you know what? Your character, your personality, your character determine the height, your spirituality. You kneel down and pray because you are weak. You beg God for strength to change. You get up, filled by the power of the Lord, and become a different person. A person with uprightness, justice. Okay? So then here you see the official, you see the prophet, the decision maker, the judge, they change their judge. They blind their eyes. For what? For bribery. For bribery. No more social justice. No more justice in the eyes of the law. It's all about who pays me more. So at the end, they were all wiped out by the Lord. For they shall no longer serve the Lord's people. And those people, those, you know that the rich, the prophet, the officials, all these evildoers at the end were taken away from the land of the Lord. And only the You know, when the kingdom of Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom were destroyed, all this so-called upper class were taken away, were either killed or taken away. But the one that's being taken advantage upon, the peasant, the poor, the weak, they get to stay on the promised land, and slowly the remnant, slowly they re-flourished in this land. Okay? So this is what happened, the social injustice. Now, we spend enough time talking about the negative things, all right? We talk about the reason that the wrath of the Lord upon them, and we take them as a warning in our servitude, in our way of serving God today. But given all this terrible, the wrath of the Lord, the punishment of God, God will destroy them. All this warning, all this proclamation of destruction. In chapter 4, the Lord made them a promise. In time of Micah told them that you're going to be destroyed. But if you return, that the Lord will show mercy upon you. Let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 is a very famous chapter. In chapter 4, verse 1, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his way, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion the Lord shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
He shall judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their sword into plowshares and their spear into pruning hook. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Okay? Oh, there are two more verses. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. This is a very important proclamation of peace. Okay? This is different than the proclamation of the prophet who are chewing the meat and say, oh, you give me meat? No worry, you go. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. It's not like that. This one is from God. This one is from Prophet Micah. And this is also from Prophet Isaiah. You find the same statement. You find the same proclamation in Isaiah chapter 2. Almost identical. If you look at them, it's the same message. The same message that God gave to Isaiah, the same message God gave to Micah, that you return, the Lord shall give you hope once again. And then here, there are a few things that you and I, we must pay attention. This is not only an encouragement for the people at that generation. Tell the people, don't worry, God still loves you. It's not just that. It's also a prophecy for the end time, the later day. So it's a double fulfillment of prophecy. It fulfilled once when the Israelites returned from their captivity. Right? It fulfilled again today in the true church at the end time that the house of the Lord shall be established above all. So number one, in here we see the glory. The glory return. The glory of the house of the Lord. In here, it tells you that the mountain of the Lord will be above all mountains and above all the hills. Okay? She said that in the later day, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain and exalt above the hills. This tells you, number one, in that generation, it tells you that God's mercy and his glory will once again return to the people. That God will show them mercy and rebuild his people. Okay? So, this goes more than that. This is more than just, oh, you know what? You will return. God will bring you back from the land of captivity. You shall no longer be slave. You come back. You can return to the Holy Land. You will be restored. It's more than that. It also tells you that at the end day, which is now in this generation, in the end time, the house of the Lord, which is the church, he said that the church, God's church, he said that this church is on the top of the mountain. It must be built on the top of God's mountain. But at the same time, he said that there are also other mountains, because mountains, right? Other mountains and many hills, okay? There are many hills, many mountains, but the house of the Lord is above them all, above any of them, above them all. What does that tell you? It tells you that at the end time, in this generation, many hills, many mountains, is like there are many different denominations. Many different denominations. You find that everybody come out and they call themselves the church, the people, or the house of the Lord. But the Bible tells you and I, though that there are many mountains, though that there are many hills, but in the end time, there is only one on the mountain of God, on the top of God's mountain, and that's above all, transcend above any other mountain, transcend above any other hill. So you have to make sure that you find the right mountain for the mountain of the for the house of the Lord built upon God's mountain. Okay? There are many different denominations in this world, thousands, tens of thousands. You just have to make sure that you find the right one where God built his house upon his mountain. Okay? So this is the first thing. The glory of the house of the Lord shall be established above all hill, above all mountain. But then the second thing that he mentioned, how about the people? All nation. Here says that many people will flow to this mountain of God. Not any mountain, but it must be this one. It's singular. Only one. Okay? Says that all the people, many nations will come and say, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. Okay? Now, the key is the mountain of the Lord. And then the second is the God of Jacob. Okay? So here, this is where the problem is. So in order for you to find the right place to go, all nation, many people, they want to return. There are so many people looking for God. So many Christians are trying to find the truth. So many people are floating back, but you have to make sure, number one, it must be the mountain of God for the Lord destiny, the Lord appoint, which is my mountain. Okay? Since the Old Testament, the Lord appoint the Israelites, you shall worship me in the place that I call my place, in the place that I say my name. So the Lord never allowed the Israelites, oh, you know what, go anywhere, just go. You like this mountain, go there. You like that mountain, go there. No, the Lord said, only in the place that I called my own, and I, you know, the place that I set my name upon it. So you do not get to choose anywhere. Oh, I like here, I like there. No, you have to go to the mountain of the Lord, the one that God appointed. It's not a free selection. It's not. You don't have choice. If you want to find the house of the Lord, you return to the mountain of God. Number two, this is for who? This is not for anyone. It's not for everyone. It's only for Jacob. It's only for Jacob, the God of Jacob. You must be Jacob in order to find this God and find the mountain and find the house. You have to be Jacob, the one that was chosen by God. Jacob is very different. Jacob is no different than you and I. He got his problem. He is not even a very good person, you know. Frankly speaking, he got his weaknesses. He is very cunning. He set his brother up. He came up with his mother to cheat his father, to deceive his father. He is very selfish. I mean, he has all the weaknesses of human beings, but he grew in his life. Through tribulation and troubles, he start to get to know his God. So eventually, he grabbed onto God and he said, I will never let you go away from my life. So you know what? Just like you and I, we are not. The reason you are in TJC is not because you are better than anyone else in the world. It's not. The reason you are in TJC just because God has mercy upon you and I. Just like God decided to choose Jacob. It's God's grace. God's grace that you are here today. But that doesn't mean that's the end of your effort. That's only the beginning of your effort. Because Jacob spent his entire time improve his relationship with God. It's a lifetime effort. So at the first, at the very beginning, when Jacob ran away from home, he said to God, you give me food, you give me clothes, you make sure that I'm okay. You can be my God. You know, it's a negotiation. But after many years, before he died, the Bible says that he leaned against the post and he worshiped God. No more negotiation. No need to wait for God to do something. It's not that you can be my God. It's you are my God. That's called progress in faith. Improvement in faith. So you need to be like Jacob. Become the children of God, but continue to grow in faith. Okay? So second thing here says that all will flow, but it must flow back to the mountain of God and become the children of Jacob, become like Jacob. But climbing the mountain means what? Effort. You must put in effort to climb. Okay? It's like a hiking. You have to sweat, you put in effort. Oh, that's a continuous progress. Now, if we continue to look at verse 2, here says that out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the words of the law from Jerusalem. Okay? Number 3, the law. The law came from Zion, the mountain of God, from Jerusalem, the holy city. So, the third thing that it was mentioned in this prophecy called the mercy return upon you in your life. You want the mercy to return, you have to flow back to the house of the law and you have to learn the law. You have to learn. And here says that, hey, you need to come back to Zion. You need to find the mountain of the law. You need to be called the children of God. And you must learn the law from Zion, the instruction from Jerusalem. For the people of God learn the teaching of God. If you do not know the teaching of the law, you do not belong to the Lord. That's why in the book of Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says that my people perish, destroyed for lacking of knowledge. If you do not pursue after the law, the knowledge of the Bible, then you perish. Okay? And one of the biggest problems in our generation, in our society, is that many so-called Christians spend really, really little time to know about the teaching of God. I was talking to a newly baptized sister who is about 50, 60s. Huh? She was a Catholic for her entire life until a few years ago when she baptized into TJC. And every time when we have Bible study, she gets really, really frustrated. Very frustrated. Why? Because in our service, in TJC service, we flip the Bible a lot. And she couldn't find anything. She was a Christian, a Catholic, for decades, for like more than 50 years. She couldn't even find simple, like, you know, John. Okay? Proverbs, which one is in the front? Which one? Is it New Testament, Old Testament? So you know what? Being a lifelong Christian, we still need to have someone sitting next to her and help her flipping the Bible. Why? Because she told us for all those years attending service, she never really need to read the Bible or flip the Bible. She just sit there and listen, and whatever the father say, they just take it as it is. Okay. So if he's wrong, nobody knows. Because, hey, whatever he said, we believe. Okay. So when he came to TJC and started flipping the Bible, he got really frustrated. Frustrated upon herself. She said, why, how come as a Christian, I know so little about the Bible?
Right? So not knowing the law might result in deviating from the truth. Right? So that's number three. Last one before we finish. Okay, so in verse 3, that rebuke the strong nation afar off shall be their sword into plowshare and spear into pruning hook. So now this is the proclamation of peace. Right? He said that country between country, people between people, nation between nation, no longer need to be engaged in war. So your spear, your weaponry, can be made into agricultural tools. Okay? Plowshare or the pruning hook. Okay? Those are for farming. Those are just for agriculture, for farming. And you no longer need your spear, your sword, your weaponry, for now you are able to find harmony between the different. Okay? Between those who are different. You know that in the past, when there is differences, that means there is a war. When there's a differences, that means there's a conflict. When there's a differences, that means there's a hatred. But with the glory of the Lord return to your life, with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, that this warfare between you and the people around you shall no longer exist. Okay? So this is a promise of the Lord. Of course, in that generation, the promise is that the Lord shall be your protection. So you no longer need all these weaponries, for I shall be your chariot and horseman. I shall be your strong wall, a wall of fire. Oh, so you know the Lord make a promise to them that, hey, with me in your life, you don't need to fight on your own, for I shall be your protector. In our turn today, this generation, we are always fighting, competing, okay? Sometimes when people are different than you, it always results in uncomfortable moment, okay? Or even turn into arguments, fighting. Everybody thinks that they are right. Everybody wants to be right. Everyone wants to take the upper wing. That's our society. But a Christian filled with the glory of God, with the power of the Lord return to their life, that they are able to find tranquility in heart, even facing conflict in life. I'm not saying you will not have any conflict. Yes, there are people out there who will still fight with you, having different opinion, but you always have this tranquility, this inexpressible peace. People want to provoke you. People want to, you know, make, like stir up your emotion. But, you know, it's like there's a solid foundation, okay? Like your soul is anchored upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you know what? You are facing a lot of up and down in life, but nothing take this peace away from your heart. That's the true salvation, and that's the glory of the Lord in our life. Okay? We will continue tomorrow. We will finish every... Nah, I'm not going to say that. All right, let's all pray in silence. Amen.